Welcome back. All right. You got the Rational Revolution. You got Mark Becker. You got my dear friend, Laura McCoy, which thank you again for coming. This is cool.
It's my pleasure.
This is my pleasure. I'm really happy that you're here. Member of the Green Bay Public School Board, Green Bay GBAPS.
GBAPS.
All right. We're talking about school funding, and you said on the other side that you're concerned about just being responsible to the taxpayers of the district. Talk about that.
Well, it's hard to do this without going back to the 90s when the revenue caps were put into place. And Green Bay was basically penalized for being a conservative, low-spending district. So our revenue cap was set low.
Oof.
And basically, every single year since then, we have been pushing against that revenue limit, right? I mean, we're one of the biggest school districts in the state, and
yep.
and people need to, when you talk about anything going on in our district, you can't compare us to like the districts around us, because you have to scale everything up massively to understand the scope of our district. But those revenue caps inform all the work since then around budgeting. So we're constantly pushing against that. The only way we can, the state legislature only allows us to exceed those revenue limits through referendum. And you might have noticed, and I'm sure your listeners have noticed, that in recent years we're going to referendum about every other year.
Right. I remember growing up and there was a referendum to improve East High School and City Stadium and all of that. It was a huge, huge deal.
Yeah.
Huge deal.
Yes.
And now it's like every other year.
Yeah. So, we're doing amazing work through these referendums, and I can only express enormous gratitude to the voters of this community for constantly supporting our public schools.
Yeah.
Because of that, we are able to take some of these aging facilities. I mean, for a while, the kids couldn't even use the track at Preble. It was not safe.
Preble?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, there was so much work that needed to be done.
God.
And so through these referendums, we have beautiful stadiums. Our kids deserve that.
Yes.
Right? And our auditoriums and all the stuff, you know, that some people think of as extra. No, they're an integral part of the education of our students. And to give them the full experience, they should have access to these wonderful facilities, and taxpayers have provided that through these referendums. So, and another thing that I think a lot of people don't know is that we're currently operating under an operational referendum that was passed about 8 years ago, where that dumps about $16.5 million into our budget every year. That's about to fall off next year. So we're going to have to go back to referendum next year to fill that gap. And I don't know what that number will be, but I can promise you it's not going to be $16.5 million.
What happens with our WWE secretary when she talks about giving, just eliminating the Department of Education?
I think that would be tragic for this country. The Department of Education, their main purpose is to make sure that the civil rights of all the students in this country are uniformly applied.
What do you mean?
Well, I mean, children have rights,
right.
You know, so, and unfortunately, historically in our country, not all states have applied civil rights equitably and that's a word we're not supposed to use much anymore, but it's important that all students be treated the same under the law. So that, you know, that department is supposed to protect our students no matter where they live.
That's so sad that that word is like taboo. And it's not. I don't think it's taboo. So basically, if that goes away, if there is a kid who is a member of the LGBTQ community, which I have, I think my cousin, I don't know if she's a niece. They're a niece. But they fit into that category. So they would be treated differently in Illinois, where they live, or Texas?
Potentially, yes. Yes. If that department doesn't stick with the protections that are currently in place. And I feel very strongly about that. Anybody who has a child that is in some category that is...
Special education.
Yes. I mean, it's incredibly important that they have those protections. They deserve to have all those same things that other children have.
So that their experience could be marketably different.
Yes, I'm afraid. I mean, not every state in the, I mean, granted, we have our problems here in Wisconsin, but we're still pretty, doing a pretty good job in public education. And here in Green Bay, I mean, I tell people we're holding up our piece of the sky here.
Yeah.
I mean, with the help of taxpayers and our amazing staff and our Board of Education, who is devoted to making sure kids have a good experience, we are doing the best we can. But it's been in the news recently, right, in the last few years of all the consolidation work we've done. That came with a price.
Yeah.
You know, that wasn't easy. And, you know, those things were done in order to save in the long run money by closing aging schools. I mean, I would encourage everyone to go over and look at the job site for the new school at Kennedy.
Yeah.
It's amazing. And it's going to be a wonderful facility. And I'm super excited about that. But that, you know, part of the job of being on a school board is that you're making decisions that affect children who aren't even born yet.
Yeah.
And families that aren't even formed yet. Mm-hmm. And you're planning for generations to come. And that school is part of that. And one of the cool things about that school that I'm really excited about is that it's going to be, it's going to have geothermal
energy. Oh, cool. Really?
And solar panels.
Oh,
and,
neat.
And wow. Yeah, we're just Monday night at our school board meeting, we had a presentation about all kinds of energy saving projects that are going to save our taxpayers' money ultimately. And also get us to our goal of being net zero by 2050.
Wow, we're talking with Laura McCoy, school board member of Green Bay Area Public Schools, that could also inspire other kids to, you know, learn about how is the school heated and how, you know, like that's
actually part of
that's really cool
part of this process and part of the commitment of our we have a sustainability committee is to bring our students along and to make it a mechanism for learning about energy saving and conservation. I mean, that's going to be their future.
Yeah.
And it's only going to get harder as time goes on. Your kids are going to have to probably live differently because of, you know, restrictions on energy or the cost of energy and the environment. So I'm proud of this work. It's another commitment that our board made. Oh, pre-COVID, we passed a resolution about this, and COVID kind of got us off course a little bit.
Screwed up a lot.
Yeah, but we're back. we formed a committee, and they're meeting, and they're doing some just amazing work. I'm so proud of that work.
And you know, it's interesting because the show we're all over the state of Wisconsin. I think there are so many good people doing that type of work. And because it's a thankless thing to be on a school board.
It can be at times, but also I just want to make sure that people understand it's incredibly rewarding.
Yeah, I bet,
as well.
Yeah.
I mean, on any given day in our district, there's all kinds of amazingly good things happening.
Yeah.
You walk in our schools, you will see teachers teaching and children learning and all kinds of amazing things happening. You know, I'm really proud of our district, and I wish more people. I would love if more people would like tune into our school board meetings because they will see this again the scope of the work. It covers a lot of stuff that we learn about and then make decisions about, and it's just always a work in progress.
Yeah, yeah, and it's. Yeah, and it's almost like so much of what you guys, you people, in education, you're rowing against some really strong currents. You know, you're flying against some headwinds or whatever analogy you want to use.
Yeah, yeah, it's a lot of the times, you know, so much of our work is affected by politics and decisions made in Madison and. And it often feels like the decisions made in Madison, I'm speaking again just for myself are just so punitive toward public education.
And I got an opportunity to sit down with Governor Evers last summer, and I asked him about that, and I said, how, because he's a former teacher, and like, you've had to sign things that you know are going to hurt students and hurt schools. How do you do that? And he said, you work really hard to make it hurt as little as possible, but you have to know that, you know, that it's going to hurt. And that's what it's been like for the last 15 years.
Yeah, until there's a change in Madison, I don't see that changing.
What can they do?
Yeah.
What should they, let's say they change and people that are pro public education come in. What could they realistically do?
I don't know, maybe freeze vouchers. I mean, we lose this as statewide, it's hundreds of millions of dollars to voucher schools that comes directly out of our public education system. And it's not like the money's not there to fund public education.
Oh, it's there. Oh, yeah. God, yeah.
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 You know, it's a choice. It's the choices you make. And really, with this latest budget, the burden is going to fall, not just in Green Bay, but across the state on taxpayers.
What happens in the budget?
Well, you know, the public education in the state is not going to see any increase in funding. And at the same time, charter schools, choice schools, they're all seeing a huge bump.
Seriously?
What they're going to get per pupil. Yeah. So in this next budget. So we're basically losing money because you always have to take into consideration inflation.
Yep.
Right? And they're all getting a big increase. So how do you explain that to people?
Yeah.
And so therefore you're going to see more referendums across the state. And at some point, and I don't blame them, taxpayers are going to be like, wait a minute.
Right.
I think people are starting to wake up across the state to the effects of vouchers on public education.
Yeah.
And honestly, they're pissed.
Yeah, and they should be.
Yeah.
And they should be. What happens to the schools then? The voucher and charter schools that are there that have kids there?
They
stop getting increases?
I'm not sure. I mean, it's hard to even think about that at this point when we're all struggling just to, you know, stay in the boat and keep it afloat.
Right. Yeah, right, yeah. God, that's such a frustration, you know, and it's so sad because I'm a product of public education. My kids are a product of public education. My wife, all that stuff. And there's so many good people doing.
Me too. I mean, yeah. I went to public schools. My kids went to Aldo Leopold and East here.
Yeah,
in Green Bay.
Yeah. Green Bay East.
Went to a public university. I went to UW-Whitewater. Like,
oh, hell yeah.
You know, like funding matters in everything. Yeah. It's the driver. And everyone needs to pay attention to that.
Laura McCoy, I cannot thank you enough. I'm so glad you were here. Member of the Green Bay Area Public School Board. And we'll stick around for my thoughts after this. You're on the Rational Revolution on the Civic Media Radio Network. Thank you.